Hello everybody, and thank you for joining me for this session entitled Hearing God's Voice and Knowing His Will for My Life. This is session 3 in the Training for Victory series. For additional resources, please visit www.branken.net. That is www.branken.net.
I want us to take a look this morning then at this very important topic of the voice of God and His will for my life. And I've made it very, very easy because we can go into a lot of detail with regards to that. Because this is the general, I want to almost say the general direction that God has got for us. It can be very specific in your life. Must I take this job? Mustn't I take this job? Should I engage in this? Shouldn't I do that? Must we move to a new town? Shouldn't I move to a new town? Can I buy this house? Is it God's will that I marry this person or not? You know, I hear this very often. Questions that, you know, is it God's will for me to buy this new car? Is it God's will for us to purchase a new piece of property? Is it God's will that I continue in my work because I'm so unhappy and I really want to move? Is it God's will? And we have questions like this, and very often the answers seem so difficult to find, and it almost gets us to a place where we become burdened by this. Is it God's will? Is it not God's will? What must I do? What must I not do? And our focus is so much on trying to answer these questions that we forget to live life, and we actually forget to constantly continue to walk with God in the revelation that we have already received. And in this whole process, and once again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek God's specific will. We have to do that. I engage on that on a daily basis. But with regards to the whole topic of God's will for my life, I'm going to give you basic principles that if you apply them, it will steer you into being able to pray for more of the specific will of God with regards to circumstances like that. And to help you to identify God's voice when He speaks with you, because God communicates with us. All right? Your relationship with God is not supposed to be a monologue. Now, let's kick off. I've decided to put a lot of the text on the board, all right, for you. And you can just follow as we go through this. Let's look at the ability to hear the voice of God on a regular basis is contained in one word. And that is relationship. I say again what I said last week. People, if you are married to someone and you never communicate with that person, do you think that you will grow into intimacy and that you will know that person not only when they speak what they want, but when they just look at you and they hint? If you don't spend time with that person, you will not know that. It's the same with our relationship with God. It is strange to me how Christians often want to hear the voice of God and expect God to speak to them, but they're not willing to invest time and energy and discipline in getting to know the Lord. I've said this many times. The gospel is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift that God gives us. But it will cost you everything you have to get it. Because it costs you your very life. And God expects nothing less than your very life. If you think that you can go through life and give God 5% of your time, 5% of who you are, 5% of this, and you kind of do things now and then that you think you will please God, I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, you will get to the end of your life and you're going to open your eyes at a shocking reality. Because we embrace a theology or we embrace a lifestyle that we think that I can give God what I feel comfortable with in giving Him. When the reality is that God demands everything of us. Our lives on a daily basis. If we don't grow spiritually day to day, today we are backsliding. But we use grace as an excuse to abuse it and not to walk the road that God has called us for. Why do you think Jesus said, the road that leads to salvation is narrow and those who enter it, few? Think about that for a moment. This is God Himself saying, the road to salvation is narrow. And we have come to believe that Our journey with God is just something that we can engage in on a happy-go-lucky feeling, and I'll give Him what I can, when I can, how I want to, in the way that I want to. And it's almost like God is only there in our lives to serve as a crutch when we go through difficult times. God is either Lord of all in your life, or He's not Lord at all. That's how it is. And it's a hard word. If you really go and study the Gospels, folks, we are called to walk a road, listen, that very few Christians are able to walk. And I'm not speaking about rules and regulations. And I'm speaking about, in this context, of an intimacy relationship with God, getting to know God, spending time with God, spending time in your quiet time, getting to know the Word of God. All right? And it's not like, I'll give God what I want, how I can. It's not the gospel. What did Jesus say? He said the gospel, the kingdom is like this. It's like a man who walked and he found a piece of land with a treasure in it. And what did that man do? He went and he sold everything he had. And he went and he bought that piece of land so that he can own the treasure. Jesus said, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Once you discover the kingdom of heaven, the reality of eternity and what the kingdom is, it is greater and worth more than anything in this life. The challenge that we are faced with is that we are living with a temporal worldview and a temporal world perspective, which means that we only look as far as the next year or 2 years or 3 years and 4 years in advance. And what we do is we substitute eternal glory, what God has got for us, for temporal pleasures that the world can give. And we give God 2% of our time and energy in our lives, and we expect God to pitch with 100% of His part. That's arrogance. It's foolishness. You know, the Bible literally calls that such a person is a fool. So if we want to grow in our relationship with God, and if you want God's will for your life, because God's heart is to reveal His ways to you. He wants to do that. And once again, I'm not speaking about do this, don't do that. I'm not speaking about living under the law in the sense of we obtain our salvation through our good deeds. It's not that. We obtain our salvation through the grace of God and by the completed work of Jesus on the cross and us accepting that 100% and giving our lives to that. That is what gives us salvation and living in obedience to the Lord. Okay? But nevertheless, we need to engage in a process where we seek after the kingdom. We seek truth. We seek the will of God. We seek closeness with Him. Draw close to me and I will draw close to you, the scripture says. Now, a living relationship with the Lord is key to hearing His voice. And what you have to understand is that God created you to have relationship with Him. That's why He created you. God is in a relational God. God is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God exists in constant relationship, perfect relationship with one another. How many times Jesus spoke about, Father God, I thank You that You will make them one as we are one. The perfect oneness of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one. And that is what God is calling us to, is to the same relationship. We have a relational God, and that is our great calling. Is it so difficult just to give your life over to someone who really wants to have a good relationship with you? If you read Genesis 3 verse 8, and they heard the voice of Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord your God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This refers to Adam and Eve, which means that God communed with Adam and Eve. God spoke to them. And next week we'll look at the various ways in which God speaks. So please don't miss next week. Try to come, all right, and bring your notebook that we're going to look at the various ways in which God communicates. Now, let's go to the next slide. Okay, as children of God, we have the Holy Spirit to teach us according to the will of God. John 14, 26 says, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. What is He saying here? He says, folks, listen, we are not alone in our walk with God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that is with us, and He is guiding us. He is strengthening us. In Greek, the parakletos. You know what? It is someone that literally comes next to you. You are never alone when it comes to discovering the will of God. You have to understand we're not alone in this process. God is here to help us to grow. He actually gave you the third person in the Trinity to be with you full time, 24/7, 365, all the time, to guide you into a deeper relationship with Him. Isn't that incredible? You show me any other God that does that. Acts 10:34 says, "And Peter opened his mouth and said," all right, "of the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to Him." God is no respecter of person. When you draw near to God, He accepts you, all right? And He begins to journey with you through a process of having you transformed more and more into His image, to live a holier life, to walk with Him, to begin to understand Him better, so that you can operate in His character and in His nature. That is what spiritual maturity is. You know how often I meet people, grown-ups, age 40, 50, 60, 70. They're babies. They've not matured anything spiritually. Your spiritual maturity has got nothing to do with your physical age. Your spiritual maturity manifests as you engage in the process with God and you walk with God and your spirit begins to mature in God. The moment you are born again, you're a baby. You're a spiritual baby. That's why the scripture speaks about giving us milk to drink. You can be 60 years old. When you're born again, you're a baby. Spiritually. Now the process must begin. And your spirit needs to begin to understand the ways of God. All right? So that you do not walk according to the flesh any longer, but according to the spirit. It's a process where we grow. We spend time in the word. We spend time with God, etc. And when you draw near to God, what does the Bible say? He accepts us and He begins to walk a road with us. All right? But He wants everything. All right? He wants everything. God wants a deep personal relationship with you, and you have to live in an attitude of surrender to God. Allow the Lord to draw us into a deeper relationship. In John 10 verse 4 it says, "When He has got them all out, He goes before them, and the sheep go after Him, for they have knowledge of His voice." So what does it say here in the book of John? It says that the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. Alright? John 10:27 says, "My sheep give ear, or they hear my voice, and I have knowledge of them, I know them, and they come after me." Now what is the principle? The principle is the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd because he is always with them. And the more you hear his voice, the better you will recognize it. Simple as that. Spend time with God, you will become more familiar with what and how God deals with you in your life. That's why very often when we go through challenging times, we don't know what to do. Why? Because we haven't become accustomed to the Word of God in our lives. We don't know it when God is speaking. Because not only is the shepherd with us, we must flock around the shepherd because that's where protection is. That's where guidance is. He will feed us. He will protect us when the wolf comes in. Jesus speaks extensively about this topic and He says, "You are like sheep and I'm your shepherd. I protect you, okay? I lock you up at night so that the wolves and the thieves cannot get to you." But that's like any relationship, folks. In hearing the voice of God, proximity, proximity, proximity. You have to spend time with God. We have to. It's an amazing challenge. The world is competing for your attention. It wants to put filters on your heart so that you don't hear God's voice clearly on a daily basis. Which means that you need to guard your heart throughout your daily activities. Now, listen to me. The world, the system of the world, that which is in contradiction to the truth of God, they are all striving towards bringing a desensitivity within your heart to desensitize you so that when God speaks, you cannot recognize that. And He uses various means to do this. He takes us through a process where He desensitizes us for the truth. And He uses media, He uses people, And in my case, and I know that some of you might say that is stupid and it's ludicrous, but it works like this, is that there are certain things that I cannot partake of, not because I don't have the freedom to do that, but it's because it's not beneficial for me to partake of it. Paul writes and he says, we can do all things, but not all things are beneficial. Not all things contribute towards your spiritual growing process. It might be that certain music, certain movies, certain visual images in movies, all right? It's not beneficial for your growth. But I'm above 21, I'm over 18, I can watch it. You can do anything you want to. But the question is it beneficial? That's the principle in Scripture. That's why you have to be sensitive. Begin to breed a sensitivity in your heart, all right? And you might be involved in something, and God is kind of, you have this feeling like, maybe I shouldn't continue with this. But you can't find anywhere in Scripture that it says, you shall not do this. But you just feel uneasy about something. You begin to feel, that might be the Lord leading you into a direction. And you feel like, you know, maybe I must stop this in my life. Maybe I must put a brake on engaging in activities such as this, because it's not beneficial. It's not helping me to grow. In fact, it desensitizes your spirit. And after a while, you can't recognize truth anymore when it comes to you. You know, one of the greatest follies, I believe, in Christian education, when it comes to parents, Christian parents raising their children, is where parents come to me with the argument and saying, listen, we have to expose our children to that which is wrong, because otherwise they're going to be totally ignorant in life. So they have to engage in, you know, watch all kinds of movies and watch this, and we have to teach them what... You don't teach people what the lie is, okay, through exposing them the whole time to that. You teach someone that the lie by that person getting to know the truth. Because if you know the truth, you can identify the lie. Sometimes we are reckless because we think we're living in a modern era and we lift all the boundaries and our kids can do what they want to. And you literally lift the boundaries and you incorporate a system into your household that will lead your child into a desensitization process. And then we wonder, why is my child not serving God? It's because you have to protect your children. As parents, you have to be wise. I am 40 years old. I cannot watch certain movies. You will not find me watching thrillers. You will not find me watching any movie that's got a supernatural aspect to it with regards to demonic activity or haunted places or whatever. You know why? Because I face those things in reality every day. I meet people, I have to drive out demons out of people, and I have to go into areas, and I'm confronted with the gates of hell on a regular basis. I can't entertain myself with those things in private. How am I going to have authority in it in public? I can, but I've learned through practice that there's certain things that begins to block your communication lines with God. All right? Certain things that we engage in. Be wise. You have to guard and protect your heart, the Scripture says. Guard your heart above all things, because from the heart, what flows from the heart? The issues of life. I can easily tell you where you are spiritually, how mature someone is spiritually, by the way that they speak. By what they speak about, how they speak about, where their focus is. Because that reveals the person's heart, where their heart is. Which means that it reveals that where their focus is. But we have to guard our hearts. Why? Because our goal is to get to know the voice of God. All right? Now look at the Scripture, Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, for this reason, as we are circled by a great cloud of witnesses, putting or laying aside off every weight and the sin which we come with so readily, which so easily besets us, let us keep on running, all right, with patience in the way which is marked out for us, that is set before us. So the concept here is fill yourself with the Word of God in order to help you recognize when the Lord speaks, and set things aside that hinders your spiritual growth. All right? It's not so difficult to sacrifice things that keeps you back in life. It's not so difficult. You think it is. It's not. If you begin to do it and you're really committed towards the Lord, it's not that difficult. All right? And you can do it because who is with us? The Holy Spirit. We are not alone. Sometimes we have this idea that I have to grow spiritually, and it's like, I have to do this, you know? To the degree that you surrender to the Lord, to that degree, you will grow. Let me tell you an interesting story. before we had children, Leonie and myself, we were once at a resort. And it was a nice hot day, and I was still in college, busy with my 4 years of full-time studies. And we took a break, and I was just, you know, one day we were just there, and it was nice. A lot of people, man, they were just swimming, and there were music playing, and you could see it was holiday time. It was really busy. And Leonie said to me, oh, I want an ice cream. And I said to her, yeah, what a great idea. Let's go and get some ice cream. Because it was a hot day. And as we're walking next to the pools, I'm just walking there, and I'm just busy praying, you know. So now it's this, you must see the scene now. It's music, and it's like there's speakers up there and people doing an entertainment program for children, you know. The children are playing games, and it's like, and oh, they're giving prizes, etc. And people are shouting, and it's like busy, busy. And while this is happening, and I'm walking to buy, go and buy my ice cream, I'm just praying, and I'm spending time with God, and I'm just in that whole noise. I'm just praying, and I said, God, I just want more of you, and I'm just pressing in. I'm pressing in. I want more of you. I'm pressing in. God, I just want to love you more. I just want to know you more. I just want to... You know, that moment, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and He said to me, Aubrey, just yield and surrender your life fully to me, because I can draw you into a relationship much faster than you can push yourself in. And I was standing there, and I said, that makes sense. If I live a surrendered life to the Lord, He can draw me in much faster. So the ultimate way that I can press into the Lord is ultimately surrendering my life to Him. That's how I press in, is to yield to His will, is to yield to the reality of what He is desiring for, and that is to be able to commune with me, to speak to me, to have a relationship with me, that I can journey with Him. And one day when I die, it's just a transition. Death is not the end. It's just a transition. You don't need to fear that. For a long time in my life, I feared death. I really did. And you don't have to fear it if you understand what it is. And it's just a transition. That you are already an eternal being in existence. Do you know that? You are an eternal being. And you're just going to a different phase with regards to that. We're not bound to this linear existence and to the things of the flesh, this tent, when it is folded up. But that's what God is after, for us to yield and surrender our lives. All right? The principles in hearing His voice is thus: lay aside weights and worries. One of the things that can hinder you from hearing the voice of God is if you are constantly occupied in your mind with the issues of life. All right? And it's not that you don't have to deal with it. We have to deal with it on a day-to-day basis. We are confronted with things. But when it comes to hearing God's voice, and when you spend time with God, try to put all those things that clutter your mind aside. All right? That's why it's so good. Take worship music, put it on, spend time with God, quiet time. After 15, 20 minutes or whatever, spend time in the Word. And when you begin to pray and seek to hear the voice of God and ask God direction for, should I sign this contract, this business deal? Should I buy this house? Okay? Should I do this? Should I do? Make certain your mind has become quiet, because very often those things overrun, all right? And it runs so fast that you cannot discern when God speaks to you. All right, so lay aside those things. Confess any sins. If you know you've been engaging in sin and you've been walking the wrong way, confess it and ask God for forgiveness. All right? Lay aside your own interest, your thoughts and your ideas. And choose not to react out of hurt, disappointment and frustration. Praise the Lord and spend time with Him. So, very often, when we want an answer, we want God to speak to us. Let's say you're in your quiet time and you want God to speak to you, show you direction with regards to certain things that you have to do. Sometimes we have got so much preconceived ideas and we have already decided, I'm going to buy that car. You're actually just praying to get God's approval. You just want the rubber stamp that says, go ahead. And if you're not sure and you don't have an answer, whatever, you're going to go ahead anyway, because you've already decided. Don't decide something and then come to God and say, God, what is your will? But you know you're going to do what you've decided upon anyway. What's the purpose of the exercise then? Try to come when you spend time with God with the issues. And it's difficult, folks. Sometimes I know I want to do certain things and I want to do it so badly. I really want to do it. And it's like I'm praying with this preconceived idea. I'm praying with this kind of like this thing of, God, what do you want me to do with regards to this thing, whatever? And I really want to do that thing. And should I do it and whatever? And I'm so blinded by my own desire that I struggle to hear the voice of the Lord. And it's almost like if God doesn't answer quick enough, you know, we come, say, God, what do you want me to do? And then you go and you do what you wanted to do anyway. And you don't give God time to speak. You know? God doesn't answer always the first time. He answers in the right time. Which might feel to you like the wrong time. But God holds the universe in His hands. And time is in His hands. He knows exactly when to speak and when to remain quiet. So, choose not to react out of hurt, disappointment, and frustration when making major decisions in life and making decisions. Try to get God's input. And it's difficult sometimes because I know, folks, things happen and we do get hurt. All right? People say things, people do things. The trials of life take us through a process and we get hurt. But try to calm those things down. And that's why it's so important to spend a lot of time with God. Like Daniel did. 3 times a day, separated himself. Like David did. Psalm 119, verse 164. 7 times a day. You know, spend time with God. Next slide. Now, when it comes to the will of God in my life, it's important to understand that true fulfillment in life only comes when your dreams, your plans, your aspirations line up with the plans and the dreams and the aspirations that God has got for you. You can achieve great success, but if that success is separated from God's dreams for your life, you will always have a hollow feeling within. I've met so many people. They've achieved the greatest success in life. They're the most miserable people. They are multi-millionaires. They have multiple properties. They have multiple businesses. They're engaged in things like you cannot believe. And when you speak to them, and when they begin to reveal their heart, they are as sad as a little boy who's just lost his only toy. Why? It's because you've been designed by God. There's something within us that is drawn to the very spirit and nature of God. And as you lock target with God's heart, as you link up with God's heart, and you begin to live God's dream for you, because God has designed us for a purpose, for a reason. And that's why it's important to hear God's voice. That's why it's important to spend time with God. Because as you journey, you'll begin to understand what is God's plan actually for your life. It doesn't help. You climb the highest ladder of success, and at the end of your life, you realize that, oh my goodness, this ladder has been standing and facing the wrong wall. I've achieved everything. I've retired. I've got a full bank account with all the success of the world, but I've climbed the wrong ladder. I've climbed the wrong wall. What a waste. What do you do then? That's why it's wise. Where we are now, seek God. Really seek God. And it's not this thing about you falling into condemnation and, oh, what's God's will for my life? I'm going stressed. I'm so stressed. I need to go to the therapist because I'm so stressed. I'm trying to find God's will for my life. Folks, it's all in the journey. As we journey, God begins to reveal it for us. But the thing is, sometimes we're not willing to journey with God, and then we expect Him to speak. All right? Listen to this proverb. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Whatever you do, start it with God. Finish it with God. The principle is this. Involve God in your daily matters. Value His inputs and listen to them. Do not follow your own path once the Lord has revealed a way, the direction or the truth to you. Then, take time to wait on God and God's answer and guidance. Don't just mention it to God and then run and go and do whatever you have planned to do in the first case. If you want God's will for your life, spend time with God. That's the first thing. I'm not dealing with specific aspects now. You know, later I get people coming to me and business people. I've often sat with board of companies or board of directors or the CEO and executive committees. And they say, listen, we have to engage in this thing. It's a multi-million rand deal. Must we do it? What do you guys feel? And we start praying and God begins to give specific direction within the specific contract. Don't sign with this guy. Involve this person. Don't involve that person in that because their heart is not there. You're going to have problems with it. God actually shows these things in major business deals, believe it or not. It's all spiritual, folks. We think it's not. It's all spiritual. So the principle is take time to wait on God in anything, in your relationships, in your day-to-day basis. Remember that God wants to lead you to the path of truth. He is ready to help and to lead you, you are not alone in life. And we have looked at this. Next slide. Important principle. By living according to the truth, now this is important, you have to understand, read this paragraph over and over. By living according to the truth, principles and precepts of the word, and allowing it to change, transform and adapt our thinking patterns, preconceived ideas and expectations in life to the ideas and the plan that God has got for us, we live and we encounter the will of God for us in our lives. So what is it? It is all about journeying with God, and all your preconceived ideas of what you think it must be like, all the ways that you are stuck in, all these neurological links in your mind. If you study neurology, you see that there's links, there's pathways. And by default, your brain takes a pathway when you're in a certain circumstance. And sometimes you need to reprogram your brain. That's why the scripture says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Begin to think the way that heaven thinks about things. Begin to think like heaven thinks. Keep your eye on heavenly things, Paul writes to the Philippians, where Christ is. Why? Because that affects every single area of your life. By living according to the truth and the principles of the word, it begins to transform us more and more and more and more. And you know what? Then you begin to walk on a general road of the will of God. Within that general road, you begin to pray for specific things. Does it make sense? But you can't walk the general road if your mind is totally cluttered and filled with the world. If you can't even discern about what is right and what is wrong, it's going to be extremely difficult for you. So you have to begin through a process. Spend time with God. Get to know His Word. Pray. Hear His voice. Get to know. Then you begin to, almost like the road becomes narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And then you can begin to, this is God's will, this. Now, should I move to a new country? Should I take this new job? Then it's easier to pray for specifics. But the problem is some people are not even on the journey yet with regards to the principles of God. That's why it's so difficult to get into specifics. Romans 12:2, I've quoted that earlier. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So important. And then, next one. When we live within the will of God, we will truly experience fulfillment and we will develop our full potential as He planned it. Remember this. To know the will of God for my life is more than a mere decision. It needs action on your part. All right? It needs action. Guard against spiritual passivity. It's one of the greatest dangers for the Christian church, is spiritual passivity. And it's one of the greatest things I need to guard against. You know how easy it is for me to give up and not on a day-to-day basis follow the Lord. It's easy to do nothing. It's hard to be disciplined. And if you think the Christian life is not disciplined, it's an incredible disciplined life. Incredible. I have to bring my flesh into the obedience of the will of God on a day-to-day basis. It's discipline like you cannot believe. Because there's times that my flesh wants to do certain things, that I want to think about certain things. And when my mind begins to run and I think about these things and I have to bring myself back and say, this is not truth. And if I allow myself to keep on pondering about these things, the next time it's easier to ponder about it. The next time it's easier. And after a while, it forms lines and pathways in my mind. And I get into situations and I begin to act the way that I think, because your focus determines your reality. Your belief determines your actions. You have to begin to think truth, because it will affect everything you do. It's incredible discipline, folks. And sometimes we make a mistake and we fail, and then we repent and we say, God, we're sorry. We missed it. All right? I missed it. I'm sorry. But your general heart is towards the Lord. All right? It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. So guard your heart against spiritual passivity. And then Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy purpose shall be established. Two more scriptures. But those that wait upon the Lord shall we renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Because the Lord will go before them and His joy will be their strength, the scripture says. Those who renews their strength? Those who wait upon the Lord. We have to live a lifestyle of constantly waiting upon the Lord. And that doesn't mean I'm passive. I can build massive things and vision and roll out and reach objectives and do that. But I've got an attitude and a heart of waiting on daily basis. What is God's heart? And then when He shows me, I engage. James 1:5. But if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, and God gives to all freely, okay, and reproaches not, and it shall be given unto him. So when it comes to the will of God of your life, if you don't know what to do and you need wisdom, ask God, and He will give you wisdom. He will give it to you. This is the last one. The Word of God has the unique ability to penetrate your motives and attitudes and to judge and shift the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Don't underestimate the power of truth. There's one thing that will never fail, and it's truth. Truth is always the victor. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands fast forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." And then finally, God does not promise us a life without challenges, folks. But what He does promise is that when we put our trust in Him, He will guide us in victory through every obstacle and every hindrance. God is with us, and He will take us through everything. The scripture says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. All right? What did Jesus come to do? He came to lead captivity captive. Think about that. Do you know that captivity has been led captive? Isn't that ironic? But if we journey with the Lord, He is faithful and just. And He wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal His heart to you. He wants you to understand His purposes for your life. But from our side, it takes a responsibility from us to say that I actually want this myself, and I'm going to journey in it, and I'm going to give my life over to this process. I'm going to accept this free gift of salvation, and I accept what Jesus did for us, but now I'm going to journey in this reality. I'm going to begin to walk out this road of victory. I'm going to begin to function within the principles of the kingdom. I'm going to begin to partake of this intimate relationship where I get to know God on a day-to-day basis more. It's a process. God will bring 100% of His side, always. But we need to bring our side. And what is that? We need to desire it. We need to grow. We need to give ourselves to that. And you need to commit to that. You have to commit. The thing is, if you commit to nothing in life, folks, you will fall for anything that comes your way. And that's why I think many Christians commit, because they've got a cultural commitment to the Bible. They know the Bible is the Word of God, and they say God is God, and they know that, whatever. But they don't walk that road. They're not transformed into the image of Christ on a day-to-day basis. We have to do that. We have to. Because the reward is absolutely phenomenal. You're building upon a rock that cannot be shaken by any trial and tribulations of life. And that means that everything you engage in, you're building into eternity. Do you know that what you do on earth has got eternal results? Do you know that? Jesus takes it even further. He says, do you know that man will have to give an account of every careless word he has spoken? Think about that. Every word that you have spoken will be known to everyone one day. And you'll have to give an account. That's scary stuff. That's why the Bible says, watch your tongue. It's like a rudder of a ship. It's like a small fire that can light anything. And it says that any person who can control his tongue can control his whole life. But we learn these principles, and we get to know the voice of God and God's purpose for our lives, and we can begin to partake of that. And you know what's the amazing thing? And that's what I conclude with this morning, is that we are here to help one another in the process. You're not alone. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit to help us, we have one another to help one another and encourage one another towards that. Some of the greatest assets, some of the greatest blessings I've ever had in my life that God has given me, the greatest wealth that God has ever given me in my life has been people that He sent over my path to help me to grow. People that had a heart for God and that could take me where I was, and they could challenge me to a next level. Some of the greatest assets that you'll ever have. If you really want to do an assessment of your wealth portfolio, Forget about your gold portfolio, your silver portfolio, your financial investments that you have made, your shareholding in these companies and all your properties, and put that one side. Do an assessment with regards to your asset portfolio and go and look how many people do you have in your life that's quality people that is constantly challenging you towards a deeper relationship in God. And if you can't find any of them, you might have to change your portfolio. It's a good time to reassess where you are at with your spiritual wealth portfolio. Go and look at the people around you. Go and look at your friends. That's why it's so important for us to fellowship together, to build relationship with believers. Because what? We challenge one another towards growth. That's what we're called to do. It's the greatest assets that you can have is people that love the Lord, that walks the road with you. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. A friend said to me once, Aubrey, you know what? If you travel alone, you can travel fast sometimes. But if you travel in a group, you will travel far. And the word team, together, everyone achieves more. That's why we are here as a body of Christ. That's why we're together. That's why it's crucial. You think you don't need it. You need it. I'm telling you. Value believers that God puts over your path and seek that relationship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. I want to pray, Lord, for each and every one of us this morning, that where we journey with you and we seek to hear your voice, we seek to know your will with regards to our lives and what you've called us for. God, we know that we have to commit ourselves totally to the process, and we do that, Lord. We want to do that. And I pray, Lord, that if there are people here this morning that hasn't really fully made that decision, they've been in, but it's like 10% in, 5% in, 20% in. Some months 15, some months 50. Some months 5, some months nothing. God, I pray that it will become a constant walk and a journey with you towards a greater depth of spiritual maturity. Higher heights, Lord. Because you say we are the head, we are not the tail. We're going over, Lord. We are not going under, Lord. We have been destined for such great things. God, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, yet we lacked to live that reality. We lack the manifestation thereof so often in our lives, God. And we know that the problem is not with you. It's because we're stuck in one place for years and years and years, and we don't progress. Get us moving, that we can grow and expand and mature and love one another and really make an influence and an impact in this life. God, where you are, there is life. We want to be with you. We want to be with you. We want to be with you. The very treasure of life is you, Jesus. God, may we not waste any time, but let us encourage one another, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and grow for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Chaim lenetzach, Chaim lenetzach, Chaim lenetzach, im Yeshua Elohai, Chaim lenetzach, Chaim lenetzach. Im Yeshua Elohai, Chaim.